Here's your money briefing for Monday, July 25th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We often talk on this show about how employers are frustrated that they can't find workers. Meanwhile, there are plenty of job seekers out there who might be qualified, but skills that would make them a good fit don't necessarily come through on their resume. One possible solution, ditch the online application process and return to an old standby, in-person meetings.
For many folks, it's a flashback to the way they may have landed their first job, maybe as a summer or seasonal job, you know, scooping ice cream or bagging groceries, and not just in those part-time and seasonal roles. It could even lead to a job in a skilled trade or a white-collar office.
Callum Borchers writes the Wall Street Journal's On the Clock column. Coming up, we'll talk with him about how employers and job seekers are finding success by relying more on the human connection than an internet connection. That's after the break.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Global X ETFs. From cell phones to smartwatches, our world is more connected than ever. Even average household items like toasters now have the capability to connect to the internet. As innovation and investments in digital infrastructure continues to increase, technologies like 5G and the Internet of Things are growing exponentially. Visit globalxetfs.com to discover these themes and more for your portfolio.
Employers that have been frustrated by a lack of workers are turning to an old-fashioned way of potentially finding new employees, in-person meetings. And it's helping some job seekers with their search process, too. Here to talk about how is WSJ On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers. Hey, Callum, thank you so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, JR.
So, you know, Callum, it's easy enough for job seekers to scroll through job sites and send in a resume, and a company might get more than enough interest from prospective workers. But where is that process coming up short?
It's coming up short in the human connection. I think for the job applicants, they feel sometimes like they're just launching their resume into a black hole in outer space. Sometimes they don't even get a response. Sometimes they get automatically rejected by some algorithm that has been scanning their resume, perhaps looking for certain keywords to see if they're qualified, and they're feeling frustrated by that process at times.
But isn't that software you're referring to that companies use to scan resumes and screen job candidates supposed to make the hiring process easier?
It is supposed to make it easier, and of course it often does, but sometimes it can be very rigid. For example, I spoke with the manager of a pinball arcade in Chattanooga, Tennessee, who said, you know, I've done the online application process, and the fields are very binary. I might say, well, how much experience do you have? And if I set the threshold at, say, at least 2 years of experience, well, anybody who doesn't meet that criteria won't even make it to me. I won't even see their application. But he said, if somebody walked in off the street and just really impressed me in person, I might consider them even if they didn't meet every criteria I had set up in the online application. And so that's sort of where the cup is missing the lip sometimes.
So aside from the human connection that you mentioned a moment ago, are there other things missing from the online hiring process?
One of the big ones I hear from employers, JR, is just their inability to detect a candidate's commitment to the company. We've heard a lot of companies right now complaining about employees who are ghosting them. In other words, accepting a job offer and then either never showing up for the job in the first place because they took some other position, or perhaps they come for a week and then they don't come back for the second week. The Chamber of Commerce told me that's the number one concern they're hearing from small business owners right now, is getting people to show up for the second week of work. So some of these bosses feel like, if I can meet my candidate face-to-face, maybe I can better gauge than I could through a computer whether this is somebody who is actually going to stick with it.
Okay, but to be fair, many applicants also complain about ghosting. You know, that black hole you mentioned where they send out a bunch of resumes and they hear nothing back. Could in-person meetings help them too?
Well, sometimes the job seekers feel like, look, I'm sure that I would be a good employee or I could be a good fit for this role if I could just get in front of the person who would be my boss and make my case. You know, I'm thinking of somebody like Kenny Hazlitt, who I spoke with. He's in South Carolina trying to make a career change. He's a used car salesman who's trying to become a coder. So he went to a coding boot camp and he said he's blasted off some 400 online applications to various tech jobs, hasn't landed one yet. And he suspects it's largely because he doesn't have any experience yet in the field that he's trying to break into. But he just believes if he could get in front of somebody and meet them face to face, he'd be able to convince them. In fact, he says that's how he got into car sales in the first place, JR. He just put on a suit one day and he said he walked from dealership to dealership asking for jobs until somebody gave him one. So it's worked for him in the past.
But as the job search adapts to the changing needs of employers, it seems like applicants so used to clicking send are dealing with a new process and they might have to develop or dust off a different set of skills.
It is a new process because especially for those entry-level job seekers or those who are new grads, many of them either finish their education or their training in a remote environment. And so it's kind of a foreign concept to get out there in person and go door knocking. But one of the things that I'm hearing from the employers and the employees is that it's a way that they can stand out among the rest. You know, when your application is a one-click submit, it can be hard to stand out. And there can be a middle ground here as well. You know, I spoke with a woman named Grace Olivia Crossan, for example, who is now a recruiter, actually. But when she was going for her own job, she told me it was still an online interview process. But one thing that she did that she believes set her apart was sending a video thank you to the people who had interviewed her for the job, right? Often it's the custom after a job interview, you send a little thank you note, often by email these days. One thing she tried to do by, you know, to stand out a little bit more was to record a video of herself making that same gesture. And she believes that that's really what vaulted her ahead of the crowd.
Are there certain fields where managers have said in-person meetings would be particularly valuable?
You know, sales is a big one because it's an interpersonal job by nature. If you can walk in the door and convince me that you'll be good for the job, well, maybe you can also convince our customers to buy our product, right? There's a direct translation there. I think any of these jobs that are kind of customer facing, managers are looking for kind of those intangible interpersonal skills. Is this somebody who can carry on a conversation? Is this somebody who can strike a welcoming atmosphere? I'm seeing the hiring signs go up on some of the businesses you might expect, you know, restaurants. Again, you're looking for servers or bartenders who are interacting with your customers. I think that's really where the bosses are finding the most value in meeting candidates face to face.
Nick Callum, doesn't it seem like we're going back in time, you know, before searching for a job became an almost exclusively online process?
It does. I mean, for many folks, it's a flashback to the way they may have landed their first job, maybe as a summer seasonal job, you know, scooping ice cream or bagging groceries. You know, I, for one, JR, responded to a newspaper ad and walked into a tourist attraction to apply for a short order cook's position. That's how I got my first job. And of course, I got to meet with a manager face to face and convinced her to give me a chance, even though I had no cooking experience. And I think that what job seekers now may be finding is that, you know, the same strategy that got them that very first job could lead to their next one, and not just in those part-time and seasonal roles. It could even lead to a job in a skilled trade or a white-collar office.
Okay, but an ideal candidate who might want to meet face-to-face might not be able to if, for example, they live in a different city. So how can candidates and hiring managers get around that?
Well, one of the things I've seen that I think is really clever is something Intel is experimenting with early next year. They're trying to approximate the face-to-face dynamic that you get with a job fair or a walk-in interview process in the metaverse. So they're going to invite tech workers or people who want to be tech workers but maybe have an unconventional background to strap on their virtual reality headsets and meet with hiring managers, air quotes, face-to-face. And the twist on this, JR, is they're also trying to head off any unconscious biases. So they're going to let the job seekers pick avatars for themselves. An Intel spokeswoman told me that people may look like aliens or something. And just to take it to one more level, they're also going to use a voice changer. So the idea is that you don't really know who exactly you are speaking with, but you're simulating that face-to-face interaction at first blush. And, you know, it's an experiment. They'll see how it works. But that is one thing that some of the most innovative companies are trying to do to figure out how do we get some of the same benefits from a face-to-face interaction, but in a virtual environment.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers. Callum, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks for having me, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.